God's disciplinary instruction involves chastising for sin, training and education, or a combination of both. It is the training up of His children, and that is what God is doing now in our lives. We say, what in the world is God doing these days? This is what He's doing.
Thanks for joining us for this weekend edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. Equipping the Saints is a daily radio outreach from Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And Greg, your message today shares how we're able to walk in godliness.
You know, Dave, walking in godliness is really an ongoing process that begins the day you're saved and culminates when we see our Lord in heaven. And there's never a time as a believer that we're not to be walking in godliness. So how does this look? Let's find out. Our text is Titus chapter 2, and we're going to be looking at verse 12.
Well, be sure to stay with us for the end of today's broadcast. Greg will join us in studio with some practical application, and I'll also be back with information on how you can obtain messages from the series for your own library. Now, let's join Greg for today's teaching.
The grace of God in Christ hasn't stopped. It is currently training the redeemed, the saved, to deny sin and self and to live righteously and to look forward to His ultimate coming. Titus chapter 2, verse 11, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men. Verse 12, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus. Now, if you look at the beginning of verse 12, you see it begins with a participle. It just begins, verse 12, instructing us to deny ungodliness. That does not stand on its own. I can't just come to you and say, instructing us to deny ungodliness. There's something missing here. What we see ultimately grammatically is the grace, the saving grace of God that has appeared is now, present tense, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires, and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in this present age. That is what Christ is doing in the life of the believer now. If you want to know what God's plan for you is right now, this is it. This is what God is doing, and everything manifests from this. The fruit is born from this relationship as described here in what Christ is doing in the life of a true believer who has been saved by the grace of God who has appeared. So we see here the grace of God, God's saving grace in the person of Christ, is instructing us right now. Present tense, continual action. It's instructing us. Well, what does this word instructing mean? Comes from the word paideo, or it's really a verb, paiduo, participle. The word basically means to educate. We get our word pedagogy, or which means to educate children. Pedo was the original Greek term for children. It's a word in which we get our medical term, pediatric. Here, this term in this context speaks of the act of rearing and guiding children toward maturity through the process of training, instruction, or correction. The act of rearing and guiding a child or children towards maturity through the process of training, instruction, and correction. And it's very important to note that in Scripture, this word instructing is translated discipline many times. It encompasses discipline, instruction, or correction, training. It encompasses all these thoughts: education, training, discipline, instruction. It's a very complex word, brings forth a complex thought. Hebrews chapter 12 has this word, I think, seven times concerning God's discipline for us. And I'll read a portion of it. Hebrews 12:6, for whom the Lord loves, He instructs, or He disciplines. And He scourges every son. It's in parallel. Sometimes His instruction is through discipline. Discipline certainly encompasses the realm of chastising and correcting. Listen to these verses that have this same word in them. I've shared it earlier, the concept actually, when we took communion, 1 Corinthians 11:28. But let a man examine himself, so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself. That's not good. If you took communion today and you didn't confess your sin, you drank judgment and ate judgment to yourself. Not a good thing. If he does not judge the body rightly. For this reason, many among you are weak and sick and a number sleep. And I would exhort you, by the way, to repent if that's the case. And God is a gracious God and he'll forgive you. But if we judged ourselves rightly, we shall not be judged. But when we are judged, we are disciplined, or paideia, we are instructed by the Lord. We are trained. When God disciplines us, he trains us. The grace of God has appeared, training, instructing, disciplining us. Revelation chapter 3, verse 14, we see the Lord disciplining for sin and calling for repentance to the Laodiceans. And to the church in Laodicea write, the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of creation of God, says this, I know your deeds. You can't pass anything by God, by the way. I know your deeds, that you are neither hot nor cold. I would have that you were cold or hot, but so, because you are lukewarm, neither hot or cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. He literally says, I will vomit you out of my mouth. It's pretty vivid language. That's how much God hates that. Because you say, I am rich and I have become wealthy, I am in need of nothing. They're self-sufficient. And you do not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire. It's figurative for believing in him. That you may become rich, and white garments that you may clothe yourselves, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. And eye salve to anoint your eyes that you may see. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline or instruct. Jesus instructs those whom he loves. God's saving grace has appeared, instructing us, teaching us, training us, disciplining us, and educating us. The same word is used to speak of education. Speaking of Moses in Acts 7:22, and Moses was educated or disciplined or trained or instructed in all the learning of the Egyptians. The Apostle Paul uses the same word speaking of his education. Remember, it is the process of training up a child, instructing, disciplining, training. Paul says in Acts 22:3, I am a Jew born of Tarsus of Sicily, but brought up in the city, educated or instructed or disciplined under Gamaliel. Thoroughly trained, it would say in the NIV, taught in the New King James. Speaking of Hymenaeus and Alexander, Paul delivered them over to Satan in 1 Timothy that they may be taught or instructed or disciplined not to blaspheme. We tend to think of instruction as something we kind of take on and we listen if we want to accept it or not. Instruction here is actually applies to the change of a life, a discipline, the raising of children, the correcting, the educating. For instance, we see in disciplinary instruction of the Lord in the Old Testament concerning those who sinned and those who didn't. David was chastised or disciplined for his sin. We see Job being educated because he was blameless. So then what's my point? God's disciplinary instruction involves chastising for sin, training and education, or a combination of both. It is the training up of his children, and that is what God is doing now in our lives. We say, what in the world is God doing these days? This is what he's doing. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us believers, right? In context. Now, before we move on and look at the details of how God is instructing us, I need to share some grammatical portions here because I usually prefer the NASB, but here I don't think the NASB does as good of a job as the New King James does. What we have here is kind of some portions that are left out of the NASB that I think might be helpful for us to see that are translated in other versions. We have literally here, instructing us that. It's not in the NASB, it is in the New King James, in order that. It's a Greek term, henna. Instructing us in order that. And then, as we go farther down the passage, we have in the NASB the verb to live. Did you see that? To live. Well, it's really not what Greeks would call an infinitive. It's actually a subjunctive. it's instructing us that we might live. God's grace is instructing us now that we might live. Having denied these things, we'll see that we might live. That's what God's doing. And we're going to see there is no life in the person of Christ, in Christ, no practical life if we do not deny ungodliness and worldly desires. The prerequisite to living in Christ is the denial of self and sin. So I've translated it this way. And actually, this is the New King James, and I think this is a pretty good translation. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, verse 12, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly desires, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. Do you get that? So if you don't get it, get a New King James out, and you'll see there's a that that's not in the NSB, and instead of to live, it should be that we should or might or may live. God's grace. Well, what is God's grace doing in the life of the believer? We're going to see two elements. One, in terms of the negative, denying ungodliness and worldly desires. Then we're going to see it's also instructing us to live righteously and godly and upright in this present age. Now, for the sake of time, we're just going to look this week at the denial portion, at the negative portion. Next week, we'll look at what it should bring us to. But before we can live righteously and godly in this present age, there needs to be a denial of certain things. And God is instructing us to do that right now. Verse 12, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires. Oh, folks, so often we are easily tossed here and there or deceived by worldly religious ideas that say what God is doing in the life of His people. Indeed, if you were to ask liberal denominations and many of our evangelical churches these days what God's plan for the believer in Christ is, you might never hear this truth. You would hear God's plan is a wonderful life, all these different things, but you may never hear that God's plan for you right now, one portion of it, is to deny ungodliness and worldly desires. We almost never hear that. But it needs to be done that we might live. That we might live. Instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires. We need to get this. The first part in God's present tense plan for His people is the training like children, disciplining, correcting, educating God's children, as we will see, to say no to sin and self. That's what He's doing. This word translated to deny literally means to say no. On your bulletins, we have the verse that says, if you want to follow the Lord, you need to what? Deny yourself, same word. You need to say no, right? The word often in context spoke of refusing someone or something. It's not just a no, there is a refusal. There is a refusal. Now, what specifically is the grace of God in Christ continually, habitually, every day, God's plan for you and I? What is He continually, habitually instructing us, training us, educating us, disciplining us to deny? Two things, two broad categories that cover it all. Ungodliness, verse 12, and worldly desires. That's what God is doing in the life of His people. Now, so often we are so quick to say what ungodliness is. We have a tremendously ungodly leadership of our country, or whatever it might be. We have ungodly schools. We tend to seem to classify it more in some of the more outwardly obvious sinful behaviors. But I believe we're going to see here that these words really speak of what's going on in the heart, which is manifest in a myriad of different behaviors. So what is ungodliness? What is this that Christ, through His grace, is instructing us to say no to right now? Well, the word ungodliness here, asebia, comes from the Greek sabimomai, and then it has an A, which makes it negative. But sabimomai speaks of worship or veneration, reverence. Now, there's a negation. It's no reverence, no worship. no veneration. To deny things that have no worship, no reverence, no veneration, obviously for the object is God. Literally, it speaks of without worship, without veneration. The word in context, I believe, speaks of a lack of fear and reverence for God. God is training us, as we will see, to not do anything that arises out of a lack of fear and reverence for God. Well, we do a lot at times out of a lack of fear and reverence for God, don't we? We tend to point at a lot of ungodly behaviors, but a lot of our thoughts at times are very ungodly, if we're honest with ourselves. Obviously, our English word carries this sense, ungodliness, ungodly deeds, which those are done with a sense of a lack of fear of God, a fear of His just recompense, or a fear of grieving Him, or a fear of bringing shame upon His name. Indeed, ungodliness characterizes the unsaved. Romans chapter 1, verse 18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against," here it is, "asebia, all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness." Later on, Romans chapter 3, Paul sums up the case against all of us. "As it is written, there are none righteous," verse 10, "not even one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks God. All have turned aside. They have all become useless. There is none who does good. There is not even one." Then verse 18, "There is no fear of God before their eyes." Every action is ungodly because there is no fear of God before their eyes. And Christ, through His grace, is teaching us now not to live that way. That's the way we used to live in futility. And God's plan is for us not to live that way. Romans chapter 11, verse 26, speaking of the salvation of Israel, "And thus all Israel will be saved, just as it is written, the deliverer will come from Zion." What's He going to do? "And will remove all ungodliness from Jacob." Paul uses this word in 2 Timothy 2:16 and in Jude twice to speak of those who distort the word. They're ungodly. They profess to know God, but they're ungodly. Their deeds come from a lack of fear and reverence for God. How could someone preach a false gospel? How could someone do such an incredibly horrible thing with such eternal consequences? They have no fear of God. They're ungodly. But folks, it's written to us, and we are all tempted to be ungodly. And we've probably been ungodly today many times. And God's plan for the believer is to instruct us to say no to ungodliness. No. So then the grace of God in Christ is teaching us, instructing us to say no to actions carried out without a fear and reverence to God. It doesn't matter what it is. That's why He says ungodly. He doesn't give a list of sins. Ungodliness, actions carried out without a fear and reverence for God. Now, if you are an unbeliever in the Lord, you do everything out of ungodliness because there is no fear of God before your eyes, as I've shared before, and you need to repent before the Lord of your sin before it's too late. Before it's too late, because you will be terrified and tremble with fear when you stand before Him if you do not repent. And for the believer, we need to remember the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge of the Holy One. We are to say no by the power of the Holy Spirit through the person of Christ to those actions that arise out of a lack of fear and reverence for God. Isn't that what Peter tells the believers in Asia Minor? 1 Peter chapter 1. Let's flip over there a little bit to 1 Peter 1 and we'll read this together. We're going to look at verse 14. 1 Peter chapter 1. Now see, God doesn't tell you non-believers to clean up your act. He says, admit you're sinful and believe in the Savior. But to believers who are saved, He then can command us to be holy because He's holy, because He enables us in Christ to deny these things. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14, "As obedient children, Notice this idea of children. We're children in Christ. We're being trained. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in ignorance, but like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves in all your behavior. Because it is written, this is because God says this, you shall be holy for I am holy. And then he says, and if you address as the Father, the one who impartially judges according to each man's work, if you recognize he's the judge, you do, he says, conduct yourselves in fear during your time stay on the earth. That's a godliness. That's a fear and a reverence for God in your actions, right? Let your conduct be exemplified by that. Why? During your time stay on the earth, knowing that you were not redeemed from perishable things like silver and gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood as of a lamb, unblemished, spotless, the blood of Christ. For he was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but has appeared in these last times, for the sake of you, the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us, training us, teaching us to what? To deny, to say no to ungodliness, those things that arise out of a lack of fear and reverence for God. Ungodliness, a whole slew of possible illustrations of ungodliness, right? Just about covers almost everything. If you want to know what Christ is doing right now in his church, what his plan is for his church, it is to instruct us first to deny ungodliness, that we would live righteously, right? Okay, so how does Christ instruct us? How does the grace of God instruct us? It is through the Word of God, the Word of Christ, that he uses to train us. It's not out of some generic feeling we get that God instructs us. It's not that we come to Christ by faith, believing the written word, the gospel, and then we're off on our own and we just kind of feel that that's good and that's bad and we kind of feel that we should do that or not do that. It is God through his word that performs his work in us. It is Christ through his word by his grace instructing us. The psalmist says it this way, Psalm 119:38, establish thy word to thy servant as that which produces reverence for thee. That's the opposite of ungodliness. It's a godliness. My behavior is based on a fear of the living God in the context of a right relationship with him enabling me to do the right thing, as we will see. What did David say in Psalm 34 about the fear of the Lord? He said, I'll instruct you in that. First he says, Psalm 34, verse 8, oh, taste and see the Lord is good. And oh, the Lord is so good. He gave himself for us. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, for to those who fear him there is no want. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they who seek the Lord shall not be any want of any good thing. Come, you children, and listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves lengths of days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. We can see it here. Christ is instructing us to deny ungodliness and live righteously.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, as we wrap up today's broadcast, I've heard a lot of definitions of grace, but I can't think of a time when I heard that grace is instructing us.
You know, Dave, it's really clear from our passage that it's the grace of God and the person of Christ by his Spirit through the Word of God
that is instructing us and informing us how to deny ungodliness and live righteously. You see, as believers, God is a God of grace, and He is instructing you and I right now through His Word, by His Spirit. He is guiding us along the paths of righteousness. What incredible truth we see in the Word of God concerning what He is doing in our lives. We serve a wonderful God.
As we close today's broadcast, here's an important message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Hi, this is Greg Lundstedt, and it is my great privilege to study and teach the Word of God and to share it with you each day on this radio station. And as you listen, I want to ask you this question: has Equipping the Saints been a blessing to you? If so, would you prayerfully consider coming alongside us financially? You see, your financial partnership with us is so appreciated. So on behalf of the team here at Equipping the Saints, we want to praise our Lord and thank you for your prayers and financial support.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, to partner with us, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. Or if you prefer to send a gift online, our web address is etsradio.org. Well, we hope you make plans to join us again right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints.